Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's happiest podcast network.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George DeMorelis. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. Today on the show, we have a fellow podcaster at Sans Pants Network, as well as a sibling to one of the other podcasters at Sans Pants Network, Hayden Bleachmore. How you doing, Hayden?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Does that sound sincere?
Yeah.
I reckon it didn't.
It didn't sound sincere, but your face was sincere, so I buy it.
Yeah, I've done more practice on faking a smile than I have faking my voice.
Yeah.
I have a weird tendency to go from like, I don't think, I've gone to the point where I've almost accepted it now where I'm like, I'm just going to have a radio sounding voice half the time. Like, it sounds fake.
Oh, yeah.
And then eventually I'll get normal again. People are like, okay, now he's talking normally. But it's always, hey, everyone, welcome to Bookish with George DeMorelis.
It happens. I used to work, I was in radio and I used to do an afternoons show. And you just fall into going, well, that was the new one by Pink. And like, you don't notice you're doing it. And it just slowly gets more and more fucked. And then someone goes, hey, why are you speaking like that? And you go, I don't know.
You're talking like not a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that because you have to do it like 50 times a day, right?
So, yeah. And then you're in a studio by yourself. And I don't know. I think you're just trying to pump yourself up, I think, and just sound fun and vibrant and bouncy.
And just, know. Yeah.
But no one in radio tells you to sound like that. Everyone seems to fall into it.
It's just like, yeah.
It's so weird.
It's just like, be excited. And how many ways can you be excited?
Have some energy.
Yeah, have some energy, but make it positive. Don't be like, that was from Pink. Like, as in that's excited too.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Just terrified. Because you've done some radio around, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I was doing that. And then up until not recently. 6 to 8 months ago, I was doing a breakfast show up in Queensland.
Where in Queensland?
In central Queensland.
Okay. So when you say central Queensland, that's not near the water, is it?
It is actually near the water. It's central
up the coast.
Length, not depth.
Okay.
It was like Rockhampton, Gladstone, Yeppoon.
Okay, right.
Sorry.
Is Cairns near there?
Cairns is, well, Kansas is up there, but it's about 8 hours drive away.
The most Australian thing ever. Kind of close. Yeah.
It's funny because people would always be like, because Rockhampton and stuff where I was living is about 8 hours away from Brisbane as well. Like, Queensland is just ginormous. Yeah, everyone forgets, because I think, especially in Victoria, because our state is fairly small, you think about, it's like, oh, it's just like, you know, the other city we have is Geelong, and that's like, an hour away or whatever. Mm. So like, oh, the other cities in other states must also be close. So people are like, oh, so do you get to Brisbane much? I'm like, no, man, it's 8 hours away.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, if you're like from Melbourne, like, oh, do you go to Sydney much? Yeah. Oh, of course you don't. That's crazy.
That's probably, I think that's part of what's weird. You don't realize that like Sydney's halfway.
Yeah.
Like you think of Sydney's like, oh, it's like a third, whatever. It's like, no, Sydney's like not even halfway up the coast.
Yeah.
It's nowhere.
It's, it's Australia's big. I mean, because it's like three cities in Australia, so this
does add to it. Yeah, it's a lot of space.
a lot of empty space.
But yeah, so you up there for how long were you up there for?
A little bit over a year.
Okay, is that morning breakfast? Like, as in, of course, morning breakfast.
Morning breakfast. Yep.
Not that afternoon breakfast. Trying to bring it in.
Yeah. So it was
Cocoa Pops for dinner.
So 6 a.m. till 9, and we get in at 4:30, and just sort of plan the show and do it. And then it was great because, like, obviously the job is incredibly fun, but then also the hours. We're kind of fucked because obviously you're getting up at 4 And then, but otherwise, like, you're done the main part of your job, the hardest part of your job, at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And so you got the entire day. And that's a very nice feeling.
That is great. What time did you go to bed?
I think it was about 8:30. I sort of got worse and worse as we went on, because at the start I was like very strict, got to get up, but then I was like, I can watch another episode of House. It's fine.
Yeah, you're really delaying it for some good reasons. Yeah, I really learned to balance work and life. That extra episode of House, I'm going to watch it.
It was a pretty sad little life for a while though, because I was living by myself, and then I moved up with my co-host Nick. But then in the afternoons, because there's a lot of day to fill when you're in a town where you don't know anyone and there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just sit inside, go for a walk.
I mean, it's not so bad.
It's it gets, you know.
You're lonely because you've got no friends to.
Well, yeah, no friends. Although you have like work friends and they're nice and you like them, but you spend all day with them.
Because you'd finish at 9, and then do you actually stick around for much longer in the day?
Yeah, so you'd finish the show at 9, then you'd have a couple hours where you'd try and plan the next day's show, and you'd have meetings and talk about content and and numbers and stuff.
The dreaded, yeah.
Yeah, and they'd say, hey, instead of saying that, say it slightly differently. It makes a big difference.
Oh, really? People say that? People.
Oh, yeah. Like, there was a whole thing about inclusive language, and so instead of saying, I'm really excited, you'd say, this is really exciting. So you'd say, so everyone's involved.
Oh, so that's what you meant by inclusive.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Because inclusive can also mean just, you know, in terms of diversity, sort of inclusive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not so much.
But you meant more like inclusive as in just getting everyone up.
Yeah.
Make it a universal thing, you know.
Yeah. So instead of talking about yourself, you talk about the situation and how everyone else is also involved in the situation as well. So it's, you don't want to be listening to two people on the radio. You want to be listening to two people talking about you as well. Like, you want to be part of it. So,
okay.
And I don't know how much of a difference it made, but we worked really hard on saying everyone instead of like talking about everyone instead of ourselves.
All right.
Interesting little thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay. And that's, so do you, I mean, it's just speaking more generally, I guess.
Yeah.
So it means you're going to sound more confident in your opinions, I feel like, because you remove all of the I thinks.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This seems like.
Yeah. Well, it sort of depends what you're talking about, because we were a pretty light and bright radio show. Like, we didn't talk about too many heavy things. We did occasionally, because you sort of have to when it comes up and when stuff, because it's really community focused. But then it's sort of this thing, because you don't want to hear a guy be like, oh, I don't really know what I think. You want to be like, I think this.
Yeah.
Because when it's about something stupid, if you have two people on a show, you want to have one person thinking one thing, the other person thinking the other thing. Because then you have a disagreement, you have a conversation. But if it's two people being like, I don't know, it's the worst chat in the world. So, yeah, you got to be, you got to pick a side usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great for nuanced debate.
Right? Yeah. But the thing we were debating was like, is a rat driving a car good science? Because there was a science experiment where they made rats drive cars. So I don't think we needed the nuance too much. Ah.
That sounds like great science. We need more of that.
I was team rats driving cars. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
I think all the way. We need to spend more taxpayer money on getting rats to drive tidy cars.
We've already made dogs drive cars. Yep. Why not have rats? Just see if anyone.
Definitely.
Any mammal now.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, the elephant.
Get a whale.
Yeah. Are you an extreme, right? So with that though as well, like, I love hearing this because it's a kind of detail I don't like hear as much. When you're planning out the show, is that literally just like, what's on the news today? And then that, or do you also be like, oh, this happened to me. I went on this date last night. And
so you want a healthy mix of both, I think. So also it's not like a science either. There's not like a right answer for this sort of stuff. But what we would try and do was ideally the personal stuff, personal stories is always, usually it's always better because it's, I don't know, more interesting. It's about your life and it's something that no other, you couldn't hear it anywhere else, you know? But then with the, you also want to have the rats driving cars, silly news stories, and you want to talk about what's happening in like local news. And so you want to have a good mix is very important.
Right. And yeah, because you mentioned this community thing. So, because I love, like, this is a personal, sometimes I attach romantic things to stuff.
Sure.
One of them is the fact that radio, at least what it was, and I don't know, I think it's just dying more and more to be this, but more of a community thing. So it's very local, like all those stuff.
Definitely.
And that's such a big component of it.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the whole, that's the only thing radio's got going for it is the fact that it's live and it's local, because there's not really, at the moment anyway, there's not anything that is that besides radio. Like, you got Twitch streaming, you got live content, but it's not, it's obviously global. So it can't be that niche, it has to be very broad. But when you're broadcasting like a show in like a, it's way bigger in regional towns anyway. Because if you live in Melbourne or something and stuff happens, you'll probably hear about it just on the news and stuff. Like on your phone, it'll pop up. But in regional, it doesn't happen as much. So you have to, like, you're the news source in a way, like a big one. Like, there's obviously local papers and stuff, but it doesn't, if there's big news in a town, it's not as big news as in a big city. You know what I mean? So
it's like, there's not enough people for it to explode on Twitter or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not, like, the stuff that's happening in Rockhampton isn't trending.
And yeah, so, exactly.
So you need the local newspapers and the local radio stations and, and yeah, and then obviously there is obviously that word of mouth stuff is also pretty big as well. But
so I guess one of the weird things is, like, why would they go for someone who's, and like, don't get me wrong, it's great that you got it, but why would they go for someone who's like not from there to
Well,
do it?
Yeah, that's the thing as well. That's obviously another issue. Well, it's also, it's hard, but it's doable to become part of a community pretty quickly.
And 100%.
So you know, you join in, you have a show and everyone's like, who are these guys? They're from Melbourne. But then you have to sort of get them on side and you do some big community events and you talk about what's happening and you like learn as much as possible about the community and you talk to the mayors and you all that sort of stuff. And then you're immersed and you're in it and you become a part of it, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh no, definitely. I actually think you, in many ways, you're going to be more a part of it because you
have to try.
As in, it's like how tourists have seen way more of Australia than any Australian has.
I've never been on the Melbourne Star. No one's been on the Melbourne Star except people not from Melbourne.
Exactly. So it's like you're going to be more, and then like, but you'll actually be more active in the community because you've come there and
So you have to really try hard. Yeah.
That's why I'm surprised you weren't like, you had your friends in the studio, obviously, but then wasn't it like you expanded out from that, made friends with people everywhere or not really?
It wasn't like I had zero other friends, but it wasn't, I didn't have like
you
a
loser.
Tight. But I didn't have obviously like the tight circles that obviously I have here. And then, you know, and then there's not in sort of regional towns. Oh, actually, that's a big generalization. There are some towns that have a pretty cool like music scene and stuff. But there wasn't a really big one in Rockhampton or Gladstone. There was a bit, like a couple of pub bands that would float around. They were pretty good, but I don't know. Wasn't as exciting. You know? Right. I was trying to do some music-y stuff. It's hard as well, because I was 22 when I moved there. And I'm like, I don't know how to make friends because all my friends are like from just pretty much proximity, like, you know, from high school or friends of friends or whatever. But when you get thrown into, you don't know anyone. It's like, where do you even start? Like, it's tough. Because I'm not a sports person at all. And so really easy, I suppose it is an easy way, or at least from my perspective, it's an easy way to make friends, is to join a team. But like, I suck at sport and I do not enjoy it at all. And so I'm like, I'll come watch. Maybe that'll be something, but yeah, I don't know.
Just standing creepily watching from the stands. Follow them into the change rooms, being like, I wasn't playing, but
so
I want to be friends.
What's going on, guys, huh? You guys want to go to the pub after this? Oh, okay.
You know, that can actually kind of work.
Maybe.
But you'd have to be into the game, which you're not.
I'm so not into the game, no. That's
just
the
to go watch and be like, yeah, full fan supporting. I think that would actually, you know, it's not the worst. But I know, it's hard. It is hard when you go to a new city. Like, because you have to put in effort, and then everyone else is like, how do you make friends?
And like, also probably
let's
didn't
grab
put
a
in,
drink.
Yeah, I probably didn't put in the effort either because I was also very tired all the time because you'd get home at midday and you'd be like, fuck, I'm spent. Because you'd be not so much physically tired, but just because you've been trying to have great chats all morning and, you know, so your brain's just like, I just want to be silent and just relax for a bit. Mm. And then it'd be like 5 p.m. You're like, oh, I'll get ready for bed soon. So no, but it was all right. It was good. It was a very fun little job.
Felt so forced. And then you had to come back because of Corona, basically.
Yeah, so they basically they changed. So I was part of the Hit Network, which is part of like Fox FM. It's owned by SCA, which own Triple M as well. And so they have all these regional stations and they thought, oh, well, with Triple M, we'll keep it all local. But then with the Hit Network, we'll just make every state have one show that'll be the whole state's show instead of having six in each state. To save some money because of coronavirus. And so, yeah, we were one of the like 20 maybe shows that got cut. No, not 20 shows. It was like 30 people, I think. So it must have been like sort of 15-ish shows that got cut, I think.
That's so dog. And like that's what I mean by like what's gone now, the community thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's still the other stations, but there's yeah, it seems like I wouldn't have made that move if I was in charge of it, even if I wasn't, you know, personally, you know, if I didn't have a show, like I still think it was a weird move, but that's all right.
Yeah, it's a tragic thing because it's like it is something which like it's for the community, I guess, but
yeah, it just blows my mind because what's if you have a show that is so national and stuff. It's like I could just listen to Spotify or listen to a podcast or something and it wouldn't be that different. Besides the fact that it's not live, I guess, and interactive. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, unless you're ultra, unless you're Hamish Nandy, basically.
Yeah. But I don't know if they could ever be a Hamish Nandy again with radio.
Nah.
Like, it just doesn't have that audience there anymore.
Nah.
Probably because Hamish Nandy took it all to podcasting.
Took it with him.
Nah. But yeah, I don't know.
Love some Hamish Nandy beef. Why not? We're coming for you, Hamish. So I guess that meant you kind of felt a bit, as you mentioned when I was asking you how to introduce you,
yeah.
You felt a bit adrift because like you're a bit in between stuff now because the radio stuff's dried up.
It was interesting because I think about, it was something like, Nick said to me once before we had the job and it was like, you know, don't try and do other stuff rather than just radio because when you stop, There's a saying in radio that you don't work in radio to get fired from radio. Like there's just such a weird turnover for like such strange reasons. Like there was a show on Gold in Melbourne. They were the number one breakfast show and then they fired them to replace him with Christian O'Connell, the guy from the UK. And like Christian O'Connell's a great show, but it's just like imagine being that show before him, just like number one, really, really well. And they're like, nah. You're out.
Yeah,
it's like, what can you do?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was saying that, like, you know, because if radio falls apart, which it probably will, like, what's left? I'm like, oh, shit, that's a good point. But then I didn't do anything else. So,
well, you were so busy.
Yeah. I was so busy watching House and sitting inside my house. And
yeah, that's well, look, fine. You're what? How old are you?
24.
Plenty of time, mate. Plenty of time. But, yeah, no, that is, I guess, the problem with radio as well is like, if they were saying that already, culturally, and it's only getting worse, right? It's only dying and dying and...
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure because I think people like when it comes to Spotify and podcasts and stuff, obviously that is king when it comes to music and content on demand. But then I think people will start missing live content and interactive content. And I don't know if radio will come back or if it'll be like Spotify radio or something, but I don't know. I think we will go back to a time where there is more interactive media, like sort of like Twitch is now, but obviously you can't watch Twitch on the way to work. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, so Twitch for radio.
Radio Twitch.
That's how we'll pitch it.
Don't know. I think there'll be some, I don't know if it'll be radio. I don't know if they'll be able to claw it back, but I think there'll be something that's in the realms of interactive live audio. Coming back.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And again, that's why it's going to have to be more local. I think that's the only way to make that have appeal to people.
Because that's, it's something you can't do a global local show. You have to have the smaller, niche stuff.
Yeah. So for people to be calling in with any frame of reference to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's cool. So, and you actually, let's do the book and we'll jump around from there. Right?
The
let's hear about everything. Yes. This is a book show.
That's all right.
So your book of choice for today is?
Slaughterhouse-Five.
By Kurt Vonnegut.
Yes.
Yes, the second time we've had this on.
Yeah, I know. But I thought, I don't care because that's my favorite book.
Have you heard the previous one?
I intentionally didn't listen to it because I'm like, I don't want to be influenced. But now I'm thinking I probably should have listened to it so we don't cover the same ground.
I'll take care of that. Don't worry. Because it is interesting. You've got a very different outlook, I feel like, to the last guest. So
it was Zoe, wasn't it?
Yeah, Zoe. Yeah. So interesting to see what... Where this comes from, I guess. Because, like, cool. Why is it your favorite?
I think it's neat. I think
Of practicing speech on the radio. I don't know if it was COVID, which is going.
So I like that it's, honestly, I like that it's short. I think it's got a great pacing. It just hums along. Wait, don't shake your head. Don't just, put your
it's not sounding like you've read the book.
I've read the book. I like the front cover. But with me and books, we've got a tumultuous relationship a little bit. We sort of, because I like the idea of reading lots of books, and then I'll read a book, and then I'll be bored by the book because the book is boring because I've chosen a boring book. And then I'll put the book down, and then I won't read another book because I'm still reading this book.
That's classic.
So I end up not reading all that many books.
Mm-hmm.
But this book was the first one that I wasn't bored at all the entire time, and I finished it super quick. And I thought about it for like days and days afterwards.
Okay.
Which had never happened to me before with a book because I always read boring books apparently. Like I tried to read Dracula, and I went through this phase – because I'm going to be a big reader. I'm going to be a reading guy, right?
Love that.
And so then I went to the bookstore and I'm like, go to the classics section, get a couple of classics because they're good. They're classics for a reason. These are the best books. And then I've read Dracula, and the first half or first third was great. I assume you've read Dracula, right? Surely.
Yeah.
Gets to the bit where it's like the guy's wife and she's like staring at the boats or something. And then that old guy comes up and it's written in his accent. And I'm like, I just couldn't get through it.
Well, actually, I listened to an audiobook. So,
That's a good idea.
But that is.
It was dry. I think I tried to read Dracula twice. And at the same chapter, I'm like, this, I don't care. But then I also have a respect for the book. I'm like, I can't skip it. I'm not going to skim read it. I have to read it. But then I end up not reading it because it's boring.
Highly, highly recommend it for audiobooks.
Yeah,
it's made for it, basically. It's fully made for it because you've got different actors doing the different letters.
Cool.
It's really good. But it's also a bold way to start. Like, as you know, I haven't read, so I'm going to start on a book written in the 1800s.
Yeah, well. But it's great. Like, the bit where he's, like, on the side of the castle and he's, like, climbing around.
Yeah.
That's an amazing part.
Mate, it's brilliant.
Fun. Yeah, it's
but
brilliant.
Like it's not where you start though. Like as in it's just
yeah, I gotta warm
you gotta
into
ease
it.
In. Yeah, you gotta ease in. Make yourself enjoy some books first.
Yeah, and that's why I really like Kurt Vonnegut because he's very readable and he's very I don't know, very approachable and they're like big themes and big ideas, but little words.
Every time I feel like we're getting some respect, we immediately lose it all. Okay?
So you've shaken your head at me twice so far. I wonder how many we can get.
It's a playful shaking, just so people don't think I'm being too mean.
Yeah.
Did you read anything else apart from Dracula? Did you give something else a shot at the time?
I read Terry Pratchett.
Okay. You read them?
Yeah, I read Mort was the first one from the
classic.
What's the series called again?
Discworld.
The Discworld series, yeah. Because I was like, yeah, it looks fun. There's a million books in it. Looks a bit silly. Read Mort. And maybe Mort wasn't the best start because I looked up what's the best place to start and they said Mort. But in Mort, it's a cool vibe, but the actual story doesn't happen for like the first half of the book. Like the first page or the first chapter is him and it's like the whole premise is he's Death's apprentice. It's like his little boy, not a little boy, I don't know, he's a boy, and he becomes Death's apprentice, and then he rides around with Death for a bit, and then the next, like, half of the book is him riding around doing various things, and there's no big story, and there's not really anything happening, and then halfway through, then it's like this, the shrinking whatever, and that doesn't come in for very late.
I mean, it builds it up a bit with the Death, saving someone from dying sort of thing, and then... Discworld does have that habit sometimes of having fun rather than plot driven, which can be, again, it's like, it's a style of book, which I think people might need to ease into. The best one I reckon is Guards for, for easing in, for an entry point. It's brilliant.
I'd give it another go. I like the vibe of Discworld. It seemed fun.
Yeah.
A lot of adventure to be had in there, I think.
I'd say, I reckon Guards, it's probably a really good. Because it's got everything. It's basically it's very, very good. So you've given it a few goes.
Yep.
Did you finish Mort?
I finished Mort. Okay. Yeah, I finished Mort.
I was trying to see. I'm trying to add some credibility to you by saying you've read many books.
I don't think.
You know?
Don't try.
Don't try.
There's no point.
You recommended you were going to do Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah, I was thinking
that is such a non-plot based. Loose book to be adding in next to Mort.
Why did I really like it then? I don't know. I really liked it. Because it was, I guess it isn't plot-based at all, but it was exciting. They were doing different drugs all the time.
Okay.
they were doing fucked up shit all the time.
You're allowed to like different things. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But you've ended up going Slaughterhouse 5. So why Slaughterhouse 5 then?
I think it, well, it's got everything. It's got aliens and it's got time travel. Well, sort of time travel. It's got wars. It's got...
it's just hilarious anyone hearing this because they're going to be like, oh, this sounds like an epic science fiction operatic thing, but it's not that at all. It's like
it's not
a very
not
small
that.
Story.
Yeah, but I think it's... Yeah, I guess it's not a massive, massive thing. Well, he gets abducted by aliens and hangs out on a planet that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I know, but I just feel like, it's been years since I read it, but it feels like it's not actually that epic. It's just one guy kind of dealing with stuff.
Yeah, it is pretty small. Like it's, do you think, I was thinking this on the car ride over and I haven't read this while thinking this, and maybe this is very obvious or maybe I'm very wrong, but is it like a PTSD allegory? The fact that he's like lost in time and he's transported back to the war?
I think that's instantly. A very fair. It's a very fair thing to think.
Is that?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I've haven't read it in years.
Yeah,
it was a different discussion we had with Zoe, which I assumed as well. So this is why this is really interesting.
Yeah.
So the PTSD, and that's actually a good point because you were thrown out of time and you're thrown back to the time where you were.
He's thrown back to like the big bombings or like just the camps or whatever. Instantly transported back there, which I imagine is. Sort of a PTSD vibe. I don't suffer from PTSD. I don't know. But from what I've heard, it's like, you know, you're back, you wake up in the night and in the sweats and you're there.
Yeah. That's PTSD.
Yeah. And I like the whole, not I guess, playing with time sort of thing and how the aliens are like, oh, no, all time happens at once and it's everything's just going to happen and it's all already happened and that's it. Okay, cool.
Which I think is actually proven physics-wise.
They can't
prove time.
Well, it's
somehow.
Yeah, well, the thing I heard, it's like because if you were living in 2D and you saw something 3D, you'd see it sort of slice by slice in 2D, and that's sort of how we experience time in 3D because like bit by bit.
There you go. Said better than I did it. Said better than I said it. So the appeal was kind of a combination of those factors like that made it – there's no one big – hit you on an emotional thing at all or anything like that?
I think –
when did you first read it?
I've probably read it maybe – I only read it sort of fairly recently, maybe 6 months ago for the first time.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Okay.
And I think – actually, I probably read it right after I lost my job and I was living in – what?
Nothing.
And so I did enjoy the, like, you know, the so it goes element of it. It's like –
that's why I'm laughing.
It's like everything happens.
Yeah, it does. Keep going.
So it's like, it's like everything happens and you can't fight it. And so you just got to go with the flow a bit, which is not really the moral of the book, but it sort of is. Well, it kind of is.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever said go with the flow, dude, but that's...
So it goes, I feel, has a bit more ring to it. Go with the flow, dude.
Go with the flow, bro. Yeah, I really like the that aspect of it. The whole
did you
philosophy of it, I suppose.
Yeah, and was that something you'd kind of dealt, obviously you probably thought of that stuff before, or was it kind of like, oh, getting it framed in that way?
You were as like, far as like as fate and stuff goes?
Yeah, almost the inevitability of things.
I think my philosophy now lines up with the whole so it goes thing. You can't be too upset about stuff happening. Time is going to pass for us. It used to freak me out heaps. The whole thing about, like, do we have free will if all time is already done, then I'm not even doing anything. Oh, God. But now I've sort of made peace with it. I'm like, it doesn't really matter all that much because it doesn't change anything of how I'm experiencing it. Like, if everything's all pre-planned because all time has already happened, it doesn't really change my experience than if it isn't, because it's going to feel the same either way. So either way, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But also, like, you'd rather, even if there's no free will, I'm gonna make myself not hurt as much.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make this moment right now better by choosing the right thing to do, even if it's not technically choosing it. But it's like, I want my predetermined path to be a positive one rather than a negative one, even though it's predetermined.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that kind of side of things. Because, I think that's people can be like, oh, there's no free will, there's no point in doing it. It's like, yeah, but you can still feel all right.
Yeah, you could try.
I still feel sad or not. Yeah. Like, because then I'd rather set that up. So even if it's predetermined, I'm glad I went that way with it.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't realize, actually. So now you're saying that with 6 months. That's interesting because, like, and again, if this is cutting too deep, but I am interested because of the idea of, like, how long were you with the radio path? Did you study that in university? Did you go to university for that?
It was this weird course. It was owned by a radio company and they were doing, like, radio training. And so it was 2 days a week for, like, 6 hours a day. It was pretty low contact hours for 6 weeks. And then you'd learn how to do radio stuff. You'd learn how to like edit ads, how to write scripts, how to, you know, do all the behind the scenes stuff. And then there was like a week where we'd have a whole radio station. Like you'd have people doing the afternoon solo shows, you'd have people doing the drive show and the breakfast show and all that kind of thing and people producing it. And then that school no longer exists. So I was the second to last class before it shut down forever.
At least you were the last. Yeah. That's right. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
And was that something you wanted to do, like, I'll just suss it out? Or was that something you always had interest in?
I was always interested in it. I never thought about it because I always listened to the radio as a kid and podcasts as well. And so I always just loved, I don't know, listen to people speak and and that kind of thing. And so I was never thought about doing it as a job. I went to did a TAFE course for like TV. And the only thing I really wanted to gravitate toward was the audio side of it and like listening to people talk. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. Maybe I should, I don't know. And then I was doing a podcast called The Weekly Muniz, which was a weekly show about Frankie Muniz with my friend Duncan.
I mean, you wouldn't think there's that much content to get out of that.
You would be correct.
How long did you do that for?
Well, it's technically still going. We just release the episode every like 6 months and we go, we should really do more of these. And then we don't.
just updating everyone on what Frankie Muniz is up to.
He just had a baby. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. The fact that you're saying you grew up listening to podcasts freaks me out so much because of how old I am.
I wouldn't freak out because I was very early into podcasts. Like I was,
but still, it's like
I'm
was
talking 10 years ago.
When yeah, I'm saying no 10 years ago, I was not growing up to podcasts.
Like, well, maybe not growing up. Well, I guess I was like 14, 15.
Yeah,
when I was listening to potties,
and
it was a lot of shut up a second, and a lot of.
Of
Sandspan stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I guess you had the personal connection to it as well. So
because they went to a university my sister went to, so I was listening to it when it was all on one RSS feed and there was like five different shows and I just always loved that. So it was really cool to be on Shut Up a Second Now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's the show I used to listen to in bed when I was like 15.
That's quite adorable, actually.
It's a weird little dream come true for me.
Nice. So I guess, You did have an appeal for radio always. And you're listening to it always. And then you did this course.
Mm-hmm. And I did the podcast. Oh, and also when I was doing the course, I was doing a radio show I wasn't doing a whole show. I was guesting on a show on Sin FM, which is a community radio station attached to the uni I was going to. And so I did that. The first show I did, it was a stand-up comedy show. As in a show about stand-up comedy. And so there was like... we had some guy come in, some comedian, and there was like a venue review or something. But so I started the show. It was a half-hour show. They sort of introduced everyone. I said, hello, and then I didn't say anything for 30 minutes, and then the whole show happened. I didn't say a word. And then at the end, I went, goodbye.
What?
Because I just didn't have anything to say. I was too nervous, and I just like didn't understand what was happening. I was just like, ugh.
So everyone else was talking. You just kind of sat
just
there.
And just silent, being like, I don't know what is going on.
That is adorable.
Yeah, and then I did a couple more of them, and somehow I really
everyone's
loved
like, why is this soundbite of this random dude to intro and exit the show?
I think I vaguely remember as well getting a text message being like, are you on this? It's like, are we on the right thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, yeah. So, but somehow through that, I'm like, I really like this. And so I looked into courses that would do it, and there was only one. And yeah, because it was owned by a radio company, I got a job with that radio company. And with radio, you pretty much have to move regionally to do it. Well, that's what they say. And so I moved to a town called Colac, about 2 hours west of Melbourne, which was actually pretty lucky because I was the closest one to Melbourne by far. There's like a lot of them are like 6-7 hours away.
So you still had to move out there though, right?
Still had to move out there, but it means I could come back most weekends and still be with friends and stuff.
Right. So you were living in Colac. Was that on your own or with someone?
Yeah, I was. So I moved in, I went there by myself and then I had a roommate, but then he moved out. So I was living by myself in there for a while.
And how old were you then?
I was 20 when I moved, I think.
That's pretty like.
Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Quick as well though, like, as in I feel like to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's because the whole lifestyle you've got there.
Yeah. It was, yeah, it's fun doing radio stuff because your life would change dramatically every like 12 months. So I was unemployed. I think I was working for my dad occasionally, just doing manual labor stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get a job in radio. Oh, it's so hard because it's so competitive. And then I'd get a call. It's like, hey, can you start next week? I'm like, I guess. So then you just move everything to a town you don't know about and then you have to start a full-time job. I'm like, oh, cool. I have money now. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like that's because I know how competitive it can be. So the fact that you got that at 20 seems like a pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And then sort of a similar thing happened to when I moved up to the gig in Queensland. I was like, oh, because I was doing afternoons and editing ads. And I really wanted to do breakfast radio. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to work in breakfast radio. It's too competitive. And then a week, then someone would call. It's like, hey, can you start in 2 weeks in Queensland? I'm like, oh, shit, I guess. Okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's feeling any sympathy for you anymore. Well, I'm never going to. Oh, I got it. Well, I'm never going to work on breakfast radio. I'm never going to work by the beach.
I'm never going to. Yeah.
That's okay. So, I mean. And this might be going, this is almost me fishing for
let's do it.
Emotional Fish content, away. But it interests me
mm-hmm.
at such a young age.
Yeah.
Because you were 20, let's say, and you've got an actual lifestyle and it's been your lifestyle. So radio is, it's not like some people where it's like, you got a thing you're doing, but you also got lots of other stuff. For you, it sounds like very much, it's your life.
Yeah.
Right?
You kind of really got to commit to it.
Yeah. You got to commit to it. So I don't want to say you've lost those years because you had a good time, whatever, but it's very much, you did your own path very clearly defined by this. And then it got taken away last year.
Yeah.
And not just taken away there because it wasn't – because they cut it. It's almost like taken away and been like, oh, shit.
There's nowhere to go now. Like, it's not that I lost my job. It's like the job does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
So – and it was – yeah. And we were – it was a really, really good show. Like I really enjoyed doing it. I really enjoyed listening back to it. People liked it. It was a number one show. It was rating really well. And then, they just – too bad.
That's what I mean. That's like it's a lot to get at that age, kind of, to be part of a dying industry.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, it wasn't too bad. And then coronavirus hit. It's like, oh, no. Because everyone before coronavirus, everyone's like, radio's hanging on. It's still the most trusted medium. People, like, if they hear it on the radio, they trust it more than when they see it online. And I think in 2018, I think globally, more people listen to the radio than ever. And so we're like, oh, we're hanging on. It's going to be all right. And then coronavirus hit and everyone's like, oh, maybe not.
No one's driving anymore.
Maybe we spoke too soon. Ooh.
Didn't count on the pandemic, guys. Damn it. 1920, it's 100 years, of course. Every 100 years. So that interests me because that's a perspective which, like, I mean, I actually, when I was, so I used to work in a bank. And the first year I worked in the bank was – the financial crisis hit Australia, like as in delayed. And so I was there on what, like my first year.
This is like 2008, 2009?
It was 2010. But
okay, right.
Because Australia was delayed compared to everywhere else.
Right, I didn't know that.
And I was there on a day where they did like a mass firing, where it's like
a
third of the people left.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And so it was an eye-opener. But for me, it wasn't like the industry. I was fine.
Well, there's always going to be banks
still
as well.
Exactly. So it didn't actually faze me that much because I was like, if anything, it's good news because it's like you're getting rid of people. It's more opportunity for you to do stuff. But from a cold-hearted perspective. But for your one, it's a lot. There's a soul-searching there going on.
Yeah.
Which it just interests me.
Because now it's like –
you can relate to like – the guys who made Betamax. You can relate to Blockbuster, you know what I mean? Like the guy working in Blockbuster. Who else can you relate to? You can relate. There's so many industries there.
Yeah, man.
It's not as tragic as that, but it's like I was just listening to this thing the other day. They're talking about how there was a period of time when no one had watches, watches were too expensive for everyone to have, but everyone had started using watches a lot. So you had to like get up at certain times. So what people were doing, like Victorian era towns, is like they would hire someone to knock on your window to wake you up in the morning.
Oh, yeah, with a big stick?
Big stick, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you're one of those guys.
I'm the guy with the big stick. Hey, man, people might need a big stick guy again. You never know.
You never know. No,
all watches and alarm clocks and phones might conk out on us. Hey, what are you going to do when the sun bursts out, the solar flare, and all electronics go down, huh? You're going to be coming to the guy with the big stick, aren't you?
I don't know if that's going to be the concern, waking up at 3, exactly 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But like, so I'm making joke, and hopefully that's okay
for me to be joking about it.
It's a lot to, like, the biggest plus in the world for you straight away is obviously you're young, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. I got time.
Like, you got plenty of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you want to, is that, because the fact that you're saying that you read this book at that time, it just sounds like a connection that I can't help but draw.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a very valid connection. I think it probably, it definitely did. It was like, oh, okay. it's interesting. So it goes, I guess, you know?
Mm. And that attitude there, So you'd had those kind of ideas before. You never kind of put it together in that sort of way. Is that what you're saying?
I'd never thought about it so intensely before. You know, I was just kind of like, I sort of think about it for a bit.
I'm going to live forever, baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, pretty much. I'm never going to die. I'm not mortal.
you're allowed to. It's all right.
Whereas now I'm like, I'll die. Hopefully it's old and that's all right. And that's fine.
Either way, so it goes.
Yeah, so it goes.
That is brutal. It's about the right age to learn it at least.
I think so. So I'm in a bit of a weird. So it's funny because now I hadn't thought about it that much until just then when I was saying it before. Like, before I started reading, I was like unemployed, working for my dad sometimes, and now I'm pretty much in the exact same spot as I was 4 years ago. It's like, fuck. But that's all right. I got some experience. I got some world experience.
You've watched so much House.
I just finished it the other day.
It's true though. Like, that's all part of what life is, doing stuff and then
doing stuff. I went on a bit of an adventure. It was all right. Learned some lessons, probably. Couldn't tell you what they are, but maybe if the same situation comes up again, I'll know what to do. Who knows? I'm sure it was worth doing. Yeah. Surely, right?
Surely. Yeah, yeah.
Surely.
Definitely. Nothing wrong with following your passions.
Yeah. It's funny now because now it's like, because my whole career was in my mind and I was like, I'm going to, you know, go from this show to this show and then ideally, you know, get a promotion there and get this show and hopefully, you know, the big dream is having a national like drive show or something. And like it's very hard to do, obviously. I'm like, yeah, maybe I could do it. Like, you know, it'll take me years and years and years, but if I keep following these and I talk to the right people, I could possibly do it. And now it's like, oh no, I don't even know if I want to do it anymore. Cause it's like, I don't even know if I want that anymore. So I'm like, oh fuck, I don't know what's going on.
The price gets higher and higher to get the same thing to a point where it's like, I don't know if it's worth the, the riskiness, the probability of getting it gets more and gets less and less. The point is like, what probability is it where you're going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
And it's still worth it. But then it's like, also it's, being realistic is like spreading out to other things, I guess.
Yeah. So now it's sort of, I'm spreading currently. Spreading right
Gross.
Now as we speak. I'm all spread.
Okay, so that's the more intense, I guess, look at the book connection, which is grim.
It's fun. No, it's good. It's good.
I didn't expect this. This is a whole different angle, I guess. Like a completely different to Zoe as well. The only other thing I guess I'll do before we close up, to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Which is on surely lighter. Do you like, just because, yeah. So the sci-fi element that's in that. So we've got like the dealing with grief element that you've. It's funny. Zoe's one was about like death.
Oh, yeah.
And yours is kind of about death too. Death of dreams. I'm sorry. I can't stop. I'm sorry. You've already gone through, like, hopefully we're at the point we can laugh.
Oh, 100%. Bit, yeah.
There would have been some grim, I'm sure, times back
then.
Oh,
yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That's fine. It's interesting as well because I also have turned down many other radio jobs. So I'm like, I guess I don't want it.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know because I think – so I got offered me and Nick got offered a breakfast show, like basically the same job again in like a smaller town, smaller market, sort of vaguely closer to Melbourne. Not really, but like it would have, I don't know. It was vaguely closer. And then, but it was for this like company that is, they only do regional shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, there's not really much of a ladder to climb with that. And then so we turned it down. That they offered us more money, and then we said, like, oh, it's not enough money. And then they offered us more money than we were getting at the first place. I'm like, I guess it wasn't the money. We just don't want to do this. Don't want to do another huge move. And they were like, because it was like one of those things again where it's like, oh, you have to be down here in 2 weeks with the show ready to go, move your entire life down here. It's like, oh, fuck, maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, okay, this right, really?
Oh,
okay, that makes me feel less bad about making jokes about it, but also kind of like,
yeah, it's interesting.
So yeah, you saw it ruined it for you.
Yeah, it ruined it, and then it was like there's no I could, like with the job we had, I could see a future in it. Oh, but before COVID, I could. And then with that sort of thing, because we'd just been fired, and so many people had just gotten fired, going to another network. It's like, why? It could just happen again. And even in that network, it's a smaller network. There's less ladders to climb. But even if we did start climbing the ladder, we could just get fired again. And so I was like, maybe it's
– really?
Yeah, maybe it's not worth it. Don't know.
So it's sullied that part of it as well, that idea of
it
showed you how intangible this stuff is, right? Like as in it could be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that made it not worth it anymore.
Yeah, and just I think the stress of moving again and – I was very homesick as well. And I'm like, because if we moved there, we'd have to be there for probably like another 2 years before moving on. And moving on would probably also be to a different, bigger regional part of Australia. And so the whole path of that was like, oh, that means I'm not living at home, like not living back in Melbourne for like another, well, like there's not really a future with that network, with that company where I live in Melbourne and do the job. Whereas, so it's like, oh, it's not really something I want to follow then, I guess.
Right. Okay. So you did, you've kind of, your priorities.
Yeah. My priorities are pretty much always living in Melbourne and being with friends and family because it's a lot happier. It's interesting because my career is very much in the shitter at the moment, but I'm heaps happier than living in a regional town.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's really sweet.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
Yeah, like
it's not surprising when you think about it, but it's like, being around friends and family is very good for your mental health.
Who knew?
I know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, that's actually quite nice then.
Yeah, it is nice.
Does that put any pressure on now? You're staring at your friends and family and be like, you bastards. I chose you guys in my career.
No, like I don't think I'll ever regret
the
choice. It was good.
Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, that's it comes down to the price of doing things sometimes is more than, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like that. It's not.
Sort of a job with, that's in an industry that's definitely dying in a specific job that has not much of a future. I'd rather just be here and with my friends and family.
And then looking for new things.
Yeah, and looking for new stuff.
Like cutting and your losses and getting.
Yeah, doing some stuff with Sans Pants now, which is exciting. Because it's something I've been wanting to do for ages. Like being on Shut Up Seconds is really cool. I've been doing, it's not a career or anything, but like doing Twitch streaming and just making connections through that and through here. Like I feel like I'm more, I don't know, I'm in it.
I feel like my, I, So for the audience, yeah. For my audience, which is bookish, I don't know how much they would know Twitch.
Oh, that's
Twitch
fine.
Twitch is essentially social gaming. I guess.
Yeah.
Is it just gaming or is it other things as well?
It's just live streaming. So
it's just live streaming.
Just jump in front of the
people, put a camera, mm-hmm. and they can see your face.
Yep.
And then you're playing a game.
Yep. Most of it's gaming. Some of it is like.
So it's live streaming more than
live stream. So some people do like real life streams where they just go out in public and they've got a camera on and they just do stuff. There's a thing that's just started up recently called hot tub streaming, where very attractive women will get in a hot tub and just stream that, and they get like 15,000 people watching them at all times. And they make so much money. It's great.
Wait, like as in they just lie there? Or mm-hmm. they don't do things,
but they're in the hot tub, they're in a bikini, and then they'll be like, hey, if you give me money, I'll write your name on my body with a permanent marker. And then people will give them a lot of money and then they'll write the person's name. And so you'll tune into a hot tub stream and there'll be a very attractive woman in a bikini which is writing all over her and just like so many people going, oh my God, oh my God. it's a great little corner of the internet.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. What the fuck?
And they make so much money, dude. It's crazy.
Have you ever thought about doing hot tub?
I don't think I could pull it off. I probably would if I could. I have a great respect for hot tub streamers. They're just making so much money and like, fuck, they're just hustling so good. It's great.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Because this whole thing, right? You when you're doing the Twitch stream, tell people, paid $5 or $1 or $10, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and then I'll do this thing.
Yeah, a lot of streamers do that. They have a little donation thing or they have a goal where it's like, hey, I'm trying to save. Like I had one I wanted to buy a green screen. So I had a little bar and people would give me a couple bucks sometimes. I'm like, I'm nearly there. And now I got a green screen. So we're
success.
Success. It's growth. It's good.
Because the people who do make the most money on that make clean up, right?
Oh, yeah. Like there's a... I'm not trying to become like a huge Twitch streamer. I'm just doing it because it's really fun to do. But yeah, like people make thousands and thousands of dollars just in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I think hot tub streamers probably make the most amount of money, but then other bigger streamers, with subscriptions and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's almost, money. I don't know. I, cause to go for the gaming live stream thing.
Yeah.
The thing that annoys me about it
is
like you're not enjoying the game because you're talking, so you're not actually getting into the game. You're doing it all from a distance.
Yeah.
So you're not really enjoying the game. So it's like
you can talk and enjoy a game, I think.
Or maybe I can't multitask. That might be more a me thing.
Yeah, though. Maybe. But it sort of depends what games you're playing as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Okay, that's fair enough.
Like you can talk a lot playing Mario Kart.
That you can. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's true. No, I'm thinking more like the... engrossing games, the ones that suck you in and stuff. Yeah.
The big storyline driven ones.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much for being on. If anyone wants to catch you on anything, what is your
shout-out to? Shut Up a Second is probably the thing I'm most on at the moment. I'm not on every episode, but I'm on
many of them.
Some of them. Mm-hmm. So Shut Up a Second, wherever you get your podcasts.
And what's your Twitch screen?
twitch.tv/HaydenHaydenHaydenHaydenH is my username.
Wow.
Four Haydens and a H. It's a horrible username.
All the rest are taken.
I think I'm stuck with it. I just said it so many times on podcasts and stuff. It's like, probably should just stick with it.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, if you want to catch Hayden, 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 Hayden H, you can see him on Twitch stream, but thanks very much for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no stress.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.